News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, Benjamin Netanyahu has asked for forgiveness that the six hostages were not brought home alive, but remains defiant that Hamas will pay a heavy price. Alistair Bunkle, Sky's Middle East correspondent, joins us with the latest. Alistair, Benjamin Netanyahu held a press conference last night. Can you run us through the main points?
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, I'd say is I think it was a press conference he was forced to give under the pressure of basically 3 days of massive protests on Israel's streets. Netanyahu does not give press conferences. I think this was only the second time in the last 11 months. He basically set out to explain his position and to double down on his position. There was no sense of compromise whatsoever. There was no hint that he might give ground at all in order to get a hostage deal. In fact, it was the opposite.
How much pressure is he under? Obviously, huge numbers taken to the streets, but the ordinary Israeli person, is he under pressure with them?
You see the TV pictures of hundreds of thousands on the streets, and it does give the impression that there is a sort of a national swell of opinion. I wouldn't underestimate that. I mean, there certainly is a growing body who are opposed to Netanyahu, who don't like the way he's handling this phase of the war, and frankly would like to see him out of office. But there's a lot of people who have opposed Netanyahu for many, many years, and they're the same ones on the streets today protesting against him. There are a lot of people who support Netanyahu, and they might not be on the streets, so they might not be seen so visibly. But in fact, they want him to keep fighting in Gaza for a long time. So the point I'm trying to make is Israel is a very divided country along a number of different lines.
And just briefly and finally, Alistair, under pressure at home, under pressure abroad as well. I mean, Joe Biden criticising him, Britain suspending some arms exports to Israel. Is there any fear in Israel that they could lose the support of traditional allies at this point?
Really, the only ally they care about is the United States. Like Britain suspending some arms sales, as they announced yesterday, you know, that hurts. It hurts reputationally. It's not going to hurt practically. I mean, but Britain is traditionally a close ally of Israel's, and so that decision will anger and disappoint Israelis, no doubt. But it's what the Americans do. Even though Netanyahu has repeatedly ignored and defied President Biden during the last 11 months of war, the American relationship matters than anything else. They rely on America to arm them, to support them diplomatically in international forums. And that is why a lot of people wonder why Joe Biden hasn't used what they think he might have at his disposal, and that is a stronger stick, if you like, to get Netanyahu to do what he wants. Who knows? Maybe this time he'll change. Biden's only got a couple of months left in the White House. He has a legacy of his own to think about, and he is clearly, from what we've heard from him over the last day or so, pretty infuriated with the Israeli Prime Minister.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Alistair Bunkle, Sky's Middle Eastern correspondent. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast. We're also joined now by Dr. Einat Vilf, a former member of the Israeli Parliament and co-author of The War of Return. Einat, is there now momentum for change, a change of approach within Israel and outside of Israel?
It's not clear that there is, because the correct approach, which should have been taken on October 8th by every country, by every international organization, would have been two things. One, to make it clear that Israel owes Hamas absolutely nothing, that you do not get to kidnap people from their beds, invade a country, and then claim that you're a legitimate negotiating partner for their release and be in the position to even make demands. And the second is to demand the absolute unconditional release of the hostages and the surrender of Hamas. That would have been and still is the only moral position to take.
How would that have changed anything?
Hamas is emboldened by the fact that it continues to receive massive support legitimacy, the fact that there has been pressure on Israel to supply it, that is what allows it to continue to have a very firm hold on Gaza, something unprecedented in the history of warfare, to demand to supply your enemy while you are still at war with them and while they are still vowed for your destruction. And to make it clear that, yes, you do not get to kidnap people from their beds and then be considered a legitimate negotiating partner. The fact that Qatar, Egypt have been normalized as helpful in this part, they are not. The fact that people treat Iran as if it's uninvolved.
And I have to cut across you, that's a perspective from only one view. I mean, you talk about people dying in their beds. 40,000 people, over 40,000 people have died now, 40,000 Palestinian people. I mean, that is an entirely disproportionate response. You talk about Hamas's grip being strengthened by international support. Surely that grip has been strengthened by the fact that 40,000 people have died, 90% of the population have been displaced, homes have been destroyed. Surely that is what has strengthened Hamas's grip.
It's a lovely thought, and unfortunately deeply
wrong. It's a very
wrong.
Unpleasant thought.
No, it's unfortunately deeply wrong, because Hamas could not care less. At least half of the people who died were its own combatants. A ratio of 1-1 in one of the most weaponized landscapes in military history is almost a miracle and really testimony to how the IDF conducts this war. But Hamas, from its perspective, paid no price, suffered no consequences. This is very Western thinking to think that they view it as consequences. As long as they control Gaza, as long as they're a legitimate negotiating partner, as long as people really think that the hostages should be released in exchange for allowing Hamas to go back to October 6th.
You don't think it radicalizes people? You don't think Israeli actions have radicalized people in that area? I can't see how it wouldn't.
No, it's actually the opposite. Just like defeating Nazi Germany did not radicalize the Germans, and defeating Imperial Japan did not radicalize the Japanese.
I'm not talking about Hamas. I'm talking about the people on the ground.
No, and
there.
I'm talking about the people as well. The people as well were not radicalized by the defeat. They understood that they need to have a different ideology. It's the opposite. It's the radical ideology.
Okay. It sounds to me, Einat, that you're holding Israel to a similar standard as Hamas. I mean, you're a democratic.
No, on the contrary,
you're
to a
democratic
similar
country.
Standard as the allies in World War II. That's my expectation, that we behave like the allies in World War II, that we understand that we're facing...
They're two completely different
conflicts. No, I'm sorry. We're facing a total ideology supported by the people that wants nothing less.
So you're trying to crush that ideology and anything that gets in the way, basically. That is the approach, is it not?
Just as Nazi Germany had to stop being Nazi Germany, and just as Imperial Japan had to stop having that worldview of supremacist Japanese racial ideals, yes, the ideology of Palestinianism on behalf of which Hamas operates, which believes that Jews cannot be sovereign in any part of the land.
I'm not in any way defending what Hamas stands for, but it strikes me that the philosophy of Benjamin Netanyahu is then, okay, we're going to try and crush Hamas, and regardless of who gets in the way, including 40,800 people, many of whom, despite what you say, are civilians.
Again, a ratio. First of all, I wish that Netanyahu actually were pursuing victory. Much of the criticism...
He hasn't got hard enough, in your view.
Oh, of course not. He's not. He talks a big game, but he actually does nothing.
Okay.
But in terms of the conduct of the war, is exemplary. A ratio, when people begin to understand that the entire landscape of Gaza, this is 100x urban warfare. It's not just some urban warfare. The entire landscape of Gaza has been weaponized with hundreds of kilometers of tunnels, with weapons stashed in every house, mosque, kindergarten, with hundreds of piers connecting everything. Yep. Under those conditions, a one-to-one combatant to civilian ratio is unheard of, unprecedented, and truly exemplary.
Einat, we must leave it there. Dr. Einat Vil, former member of Israeli Parliament, co-author of The War of Return. Thank you for talking to News
Talk. News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.